Yay, Brandon. Good afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs, as you just heard. Here on Big Talk 850 WFTL, I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorney Eric Glazer. Scott is off for his birthday. From Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. And so happy birthday, Scott. Our listeners know we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, you can sign up for our free seminars, you can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. You can link to our Facebook page. You could also link to our brand new HOA and condo blog. Tomorrow's topic: why does flying the American flag result in so many fights lawsuits? Kind of appropriate for Memorial Day, and it seems to come up and rear its ugly head year after year. And you can also join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other announcements that we send out about the show. Of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. And the law firm's website, condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. As you were saying, Karen, happy birthday to Scott Shapiro. I hope he's enjoying the day off on his birthday. But to fill in for Scott today and help us answer calls from our listeners is none other than Jeffrey Ulm, the CEO and President of Association Services of Florida. Welcome back to the show, Jeff.
Thanks, Eric. Happy birthday, Scott. I'm sure you're listening.
Yes. I'm sure he is.
Excellent pick as a reserve there. Well, last show we spoke about Rhode Island's case that said fines in community associations may be unconstitutional, and we had a great guest, Jim Happel from Envira System Security, and we spoke about whether or not we would be better off without community associations, and but housing built outside of a community association is almost impossible to find.
Yeah, Jim Happel from Envira was really a great guest, and some of the products that Envira actually was promoting on the show were absolutely impressive, like that virtual security guard he was talking about. Yeah, that was something. You actually no longer need a security guard at your property. And the only thing I'm hoping for is that Envira doesn't invent the virtual attorney. Otherwise, me and Scott are gone for community associations. We may be history if they invent that.
All right. I don't think you guys have to worry about that for a while. But when we discussed the question of whether or not the community association concept was a good one, many of our blog readers had a similar complaint. And it was basically that the paying owners were tired of paying the bills for the non-paying owners.
Yeah, absolutely, Karen. It's obvious that people, no question about it, they want the banks to move faster, and they want to somehow cut down on the number of non-paying owners. And there was some legislation passed this session which may in fact lead to quicker foreclosures. We'll wait and see if that actually happens, though. But according to the Sun Sentinel this week, there is a pretty strong rumor that Governor Scott may veto that fast-track foreclosure bill. The truth is, though, unless the Florida legislature actually makes the bank responsible for more than that 1 year or 1% of the mortgage, bottom line, at least in this guy's opinion, the association is always going to be faced with these types of problems. And I say again, just make the banks responsible for more than just that 1 year. And everyone that comes to the bank's aid, I think they're incorrect, because all the bank's going to do is simply require the borrower to put that money in the in an escrow account with the bank, just like they currently do with your taxes. They make sure that there's enough money at the end of the year to pay your real estate taxes,
right,
because they make you escrow it. Do the same thing for condo assessments. What's the big deal? And, bottom line is the worst thing that can happen, so some people may not be able to qualify for that condo loan. But as we all learned, that's not necessarily a bad thing either. Maybe if a lot less people qualified, there wouldn't be as many foreclosures. But, Jeff, I'll throw it out to you. From a management company's point of view, You know, would you agree or disagree that perhaps the biggest complaint over the last few years is from people living in association that they're stuck paying the bills for the non-paying owners? That's what's driving everybody nuts.
That is true. It's a huge issue. You'd actually be surprised how many people don't understand that. But those educated owners who realize that they are being stuck for the people that aren't paying are really, really irate.
Yeah, and again, I think, my humble opinion is unless the Florida legislature eventually steps up to the plate and makes the bank do a little more, this problem is going to rear its ugly head time and again. How about we go to our first call of the day, Aiken from Carl Springs. Aiken, you there?
How are you?
How are you? How can we help?
Excellent. I have a quick question. My association denied buyers from buying the units, and our association tried to buy all the units within house price. My question is 718.11.9 says purchase of the unit, the association has a power unless prohibited by the declaration. Our association bylaw says any entity cannot buy more than two units. And 718.11.7 says benefit of its members, which is not benefiting of the members. And we complain to the state, but state says they cannot regulate these rules.
Well, yeah, because they don't regulate bylaws and stuff. It's an interesting question. So, in other words, your bylaws say, or your governing documents say, no entity may own more than two units. And does the association actually enforce that?
Well, actually, they didn't enforce it, but the not renting for first year, they do enforce.
That
they
do enforce. No, but I'm talking about that that specific provision that says no buyer can own more than two units. I know they don't enforce it as to themselves, but do they enforce it as to other people in the community?
Yes, when they try to buy the units, yes.
No, so other people are being prohibited from owning more than two units?
Correct.
But they say they can have two units. Yeah, that's a problem. That is absolutely a problem. Yeah, I don't think that under any stretch of the imagination that they have the right to violate their own declaration. And I'll tell you where this comes up, Jeff, too, oftentimes. When it comes to rentals, a lot of times the declaration of condominium or the bylaws specifically say that the association that the unit owners are not entitled to rent their units for their first year or two of ownership. The association, though, says, you know what, we're going to foreclose on a unit, we're going to take back ownership, and we're going to rent it out. But wait a minute, your own documents don't allow you to rent
it
out. So we've been asked, you know, a million times, well, does the association get a break from their own documents? And the answer to that, at least for me, is absolutely not, especially when they're applying it against every other owner in community. If there's not an exception in there for the association, then I'm sorry, the association doesn't get that exception.
But, Eric, do we have to hire an attorney to do it? I mean, our state doesn't that's
no.
The state rule.
When it comes to enforcement of bylaws and stuff like that, no, you can. The DBPR is not going to provide assistance because they'll tell you that they're not there to interpret your bylaws. But, yes, you would have to go in this type of a situation if it was a condo. I can't think how this would apply in an arbitration setting. I don't think it would. I think you'd actually have to wind up filing a lawsuit, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, maybe I have an appointment coming with you. Thank you so much.
Let us know. All right. Thank you for the call, Aiken. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585. Yeah, Jeff.
I have heard the opinion that if an association is so cash-strapped that in the best interest of the association, if it is to rent out units, even though the bylaws say that it's a one-year moratorium, in the best interest of the association to go ahead and do so.
If you're going to do it for everybody, then you know, I don't have a problem with it. But I certainly have a problem with it if the association is going to say, no, we're the only entity that has the right to rent it out. Let's think about that for a second. Another owner in the community has their property up for rent. Someone walks over to that guy and says, hi, can I rent your unit? No, I'm prohibited. The same guy walks out the door. He's just been told no. He runs into the association's president who says, wait a minute, you can rent our unit.
Right.
Sounds like a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I don't think so. Again, my opinion is if you have a set of a declaration or a set of bylaws out there that establish the rules and regulations, the association doesn't necessarily get a break from those rules and regulations unless, you know, again, it's clearly delineated in the declaration that there's some exception for them. All right, let's keep going. Last week, we actually had planned to talk about doing business in your home and how associations have provisions in their governing documents that usually prevent this type of doing business in your house. And each day that goes by, we kind of become more and more technologically advanced, of course. We're all walking around with cell phones where you can speak with and even see people, you know, where they are anywhere in the world. We send emails from our home or from our phones. We have powerful computers in our house that probably, you know, perhaps can be, used to be located in just our offices. Now they're located in our house. And I'm certainly finding that even lawyers feel that, you know, they can work from their home and actually get much more done at home than if they came into the office and have to put up with all the distractions that normally take place there.
Right. There's no question that we see all the time that people are starting all of these home-based businesses. After all, the startup expenses are minimal, and of course, there's no office rent to pay.
Well, we all know that there's clauses in most associations' governing docs that say that unit owners are not allowed to conduct a business from their home. We get questions all the time. What exactly does that mean? How far can someone actually go violating this such a provision?
Yeah, and I ran into a pretty interesting arbitration case this week on this topic, and those of you who are in association may want to take this down. The name of the case is Inlet Point at Ponte Verde Beach versus Bissell, and that case was actually decided by Bruce Campbell, who's now the Florida condo ombudsman. And here's the facts of that case. The occupant of that condo unit does perform some work activities in the condo unit, but all it consists of is paperwork, some phone calls, and exchanging some emails. There's no customers that actually visit the condo unit. No employees visit the condo unit. No other business professionals or collectors come to the unit. There's no shipping or receiving of any products at the unit. There's no signage at the unit, you know, or other evidence that there's an office actually being conducted, you know, in the condominium unit. But it's obvious, though, a business is definitely being run there. Jeff, tell us what else happens.
Well, so the next door neighbor of that unit complained that he was hearing frequent ringing of telephones and loud conversation from the unit. But other than telephones and conversation, no activity in the unit was perceptible to the outside.
And the condo documents had the standard clause in it, which stated, quote, each unit shall be used for a single household and for residential, non-commercial purposes only, end
yeah.
quote.
Yeah, and the first thing that arbitrator said was, well, frequent telephone rings and loud conversations in a unit, that's not inconsistent with purely residential use. You know, and he's right, there's plenty of people who aren't operating any business in their house. Yeah. Yet they're on the phone all day long, yapping and yapping. So, you know, lots of phone calls being made or received in a house. That really has nothing to do with whether or not the unit's being used for commercial purposes, at least according to this arbitrator. The arbitrator then cited to an old Florida Supreme Court case, which was decided in 1925, almost 100 years ago. And that case held, instances are not lacking which other courts have held or intimated that property restricted to use for residential purposes, so long as if in good faith used for such, can also be used to a minor extent for the transaction of some class of business or the following of some professional pursuit, so long as the latter use is in fact casual, infrequent, or unobtrusive and results in neither appreciable damage to neighboring property or inconvenience, annoyance, or discomfort of the neighbors.
So even though computers didn't exist in 1925, the issue of using your residential home for commercial purpose has been an issue in the state for nearly 100 years, and we do hear it all the time. The arbitrator then cited another Florida case referred to as the Hidden Harbor case, which held that the restriction in the petitioner's declaration with limited reference to non-commercial purposes does not clearly prohibit a home office. This provision must be strictly construed to allow a unit owner to use his property as he pleases, so long as he does not disrupt the integrity of the common scheme.
Yeah, and I think that working on your computer in the privacy of your own home is not violating the common scheme of the community.
Yeah, and that's exactly how the arbitrator felt, Karen. And the arbitrator did the old-fashioned thing and actually pulled out Webster's dictionary to look up the word commercial, because the declaration, again, prohibits commercial use. And the first meaning listed for commercial in Webster's dictionary refers to commerce, you know, the buying or selling of goods. And based upon that definition, the arbitrator ruled that the prohibition in the documents does not apply to a home office business without inventory, merchandise, or physical interaction with customers. Simply put, you know, no commerce going on in the unit, therefore despite the fact that that person is obviously doing work in the unit for their business, they're not violating the declaration of condominium.
What if they're buying and selling stuff on eBay?
Again, that's a great question, because if someone's running a home-based eBay business,
yeah,
and the buying and the selling and the packaging become, you know, extreme, and is getting certain deliveries every day, then yeah, that may absolutely go too far.
Really?
And start creating a home-based business. That is a great question. I see we have some callers on the line. Let's do this, though. Let's take our first break, and we get back. We're going to talk about the board's right, actually, to make these reasonable rules and regulations, what the rules are about making rules, and, of course, we'll take all of your calls and emails about anything and everything else in the condo or HOA world. Just give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If you've ever thought your management company puts their interest ahead of your association's, speak to Condominium Concepts Management. Get in touch with a professional management company that doesn't own other companies they try to push on your community. Condominium Concepts simply negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all of the savings are simply passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help your association, not take control of it. Nobody knows your condominium community better than you do. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time where every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye toward reducing expenses in your community and saving every unit owner money. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners, always applying a common-sense approach. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Need insurance for your condo or HOA? How about getting a question answered by your agent without it taking days or weeks? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz, because we specialize in providing insurance to condo associations and homeowners associations and are a clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989 and has written over $70 million in insurance premiums. And we're an independent insurance agency representing many insurance companies, which means we can provide the best coverage at the best price. Mack, Mack & Waltz can also provide insurance to unit owners, homeowners, the association, and even auto, boat, life, and health insurances. Our staff consists of licensed professionals, some of whom hold designations such as Certified Risk Manager and Certified Insurance Counselor. And in the event disaster strikes, Mac, Mac, and Waltz is quick to respond. Our offices have their own generator and our own management system is web-based, so we can operate anywhere we have an internet connection. The staff at Mac, Mac, and Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mac, Mac, and Waltz can save you money and improve your customer service, visit our website, macinsurance.com, or call Brandon Levy at 954-640-6225. Mac, Mac, and Waltz. Remember us when it comes to insurance.
Never wait for that first drop of water to come through your ceiling before you decide that it's time to check your roof. Once damage is set in, repairs can get much more expensive. Making a moderate investment in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing is the ultimate way to protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure and limit consequential damages due to unexpected roof problems. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with their annual service agreements that prevents leaks, provides emergency service, and increases the life expectancy of your roof. Best Roofing provides roof condition surveys and comprehensive detailed recommendations. They outline your priorities and give you a realistic budget, so there's no unwelcome surprises. Best Roofing service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, performing minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking and minor counter flashing repair, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Or visit online at bestroofing.net. That's bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. We also have Jeffrey Ohm with us from Associa, and also Brandon. Eric's son started off the show very well, I might add.
Now, I understand that your daughter was actually in this line of work for a while, too, with you.
Oh, when I did the traffic for 12 years here, and I was on NBC6 and Magic, she was under my desk sleeping sometimes because it was so early in the morning, and she'd go on as the weenie Wahini on Magic.
The Weenie Wahini. Yeah. Brandon, you mind if I call you the Weenie Wahini too?
No.
All right.
Let me give out the phone number, 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
All right. How about we go to Boca on line three. Elizabeth, thank you so much for holding.
Good afternoon, Attorney Glazer. A huge, enormous thank you goes to you and Jan Bergman and others in front of our a bill that's gone through legislature, is now waiting for a signature, what will go a long way to easing and correcting the major problem that a homeowner in HOA has. That is, until this HOA reform bill came into existence, the only course for a home was to file a lawsuit. Right. Because boards frequently fail to follow statute or their own documents, homeowners were left to just... So you have put into effect and awaiting the signature of the governor something that will greatly ease the problems we've had.
Thank you, Elizabeth. But I just want to be clear on one thing. We didn't get the full and complete regulation or assistance from the DBPR that we thought that we would get or that we were hoping to get. And I'll tell you why. When I was standing there, you know, pleading before the House and or the Senate for relief to our HOAs, the response from the legislature was, you know what, before we actually start kind of regulating them, how about we find out who they are? Believe it or not, I mean, again, I don't even know if our listeners would believe this, but if you ask the state of Florida right now for a list of condo associations in the state, no problem. It's basically they go to a list, hit a button, and they print out every condominium in the state, the name, the address, how many number of units it has, and it's at the push of a button. There is absolutely no list whatsoever, believe it or not, for homeowner associations. Nobody knows how many there are. Nobody knows where they're located. Nobody knows how many units are located or homes are located within an HOA, how many people live in them. So this year, the legislature's first step was, wait a minute, before we start having the DBPR have, you know, some authority over them, let's at least make them fill out a form that tells us what their name is, what their address is, what their budget is, and how many lots are in their community. So we're starting with that, and the goal is, you know, this time next year, hopefully sitting on the governor's desk, is going to be a bill that gets homeowner associations the same assistance from the DBPR that the condominium associations do.
Okay, so you have to get another bill through once all the HOAs have been registered.
Right.
Let me ask you,
yeah.
Attorney Glazer, what happens if an HOA decides we just don't want to sign up, we don't want to register?
Can a unit owner force compliance with the statute? Yeah, I think they can. And I can tell you, and you know, Jeff can certainly fill us in on this too, what the statute says. I did not draft this. I just want it clear. I did not put this in there. I don't know how it got in there. But the onus of actually filling out the form is, if your association is managed by a community association manager, that job does, in fact, fall on the association community association manager to do it.
Well, I can tell you, whatever the statutes say, we always advise our associations to comply. So whether we have to do it or not, we'd definitely be getting it done.
Right. But again,
well,
it's a
Attorney Glazer, that I think is good, because if the management company fails to do that, wouldn't that put them right away under DBPR?
Yeah, there was actually, I'll tell you how this went down. There was actually a provision that was in the statute originally, again, not drafted by me, that part, that would have made the manager responsible or have it specifically state that not filling out the form was a violation. That was agreed to be taken out by a lot of us at a meeting back in April. No, and nobody had a problem with that coming out of the statute. We were all in favor of it, because there's language in the statute anyway that says a manager has to comply with 718, 719, and 720. So there was no need for that extra language in there that said the manager gets in trouble for not filling out the form. So like anything else, the association has to comply with the law, the manager has to comply with the law, the attorney has to comply with the law. But this particular statute, this new legislation says, if there's a manager got to fill out the form.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You got it. Let's take our next call from Wally from Plantation, line one. How are you, Wally?
Hello, Mr. Lisa. How are you today?
How are you? What's going on, Wally?
Okay, we have a manager of our condo who actually thinks he owns the condo, and he's really abrupt with the people. He's short-tempered with everyone, and the association is a president who is he's an investor, and he goes along with the manager. And my wife went down there the other day for financials, and she brought a copy machine. He wouldn't let her copy the financials.
I got my own problems. Jeff walked in today thinking it's his show. So, that's how managers are. What can I tell you? No, it's a joke. Let me throw out a serious issue to you, Jeff, okay? On a much broader scale than what Wally's talking about. Wally's saying, you know, hey, the manager thinks he owns the place. And I'll tell you this, not to put Jeff on the spot here, but I will tell you, in some of the older communities, you have management companies that come in and say, for example, they won't tell you they own the place, but they'll tell you, you're going to use this attorney, you're going to use this accountant, you're going to use this landscaping company, you know, et cetera. And sometimes I tell the people, that do you guys realize that your management company is there to assist you, not direct you and force vendors down your throat? And they look at me sometimes, really, it really works that way? And, you know, they give you that deer in the headlights look, and it surprises me sometimes that, and I can see it more in northern Florida, not so much down here, and I see it in the older communities.
It amazes me how many times I get called in to talk to a new board, and they ask me exactly the same thing, who's going to run this place, and yeah, I invariably have to inform them they're the boss.
Right.
And they get to choose the attorney. They get to choose the vendors. And they, once again, they give you that look like, you got to be kidding me. I've always been told. So
yeah, nobody's going to pretend that we certainly don't make recommendations. Hey, I make recommendations regarding certain vendors. You make recommendations regarding certain vendors.
Absolutely.
There's a difference between making recommendations and ramming it down the association's throat.
Exactly.
And sometimes, again, I just can't believe when associations tell me, yeah, we wanted a change something 6 years ago, we've been trying to do that, and the management company said no.
Right.
You know, it's just pretty frustrating. But, Wally, I hope that answers your question. The bottom line is, it's the association that runs everything. Certainly, you know, no management company, no lawyer.
Well, apparently this manager, he tells the association what to do because the previous president put everything in his hands. And now with the investor that comes in, he's buying up properties. He's buying more than he should as far as properties go, and he's got a big vote. Now, my wife tried to run for the board. That's the only way you make changes, by right. putting people on the board. He put out a flyer stating that this lady doesn't know what she's doing, she doesn't know the laws, and she was on the board before. And wow. they tried to get her off the board because she would stick up for the people here. Everybody turns around, and they come to my wife, what's going on, and they ask for advice.
Are you saying the manager put out paraphernalia that said she doesn't know what she's doing, or the investor put out paraphernalia?
I believe it was the manager.
Yeah. Jeff, how do you feel about that? Should a manager be attacking people that live in the community, saying they're not qualified to run for the board?
They hired him.
Yeah, and the answer is never. And there's certainly recourse there with the state.
Right, exactly. Let's do this, though. We got to take our bottom of the hour break. We're even late for it. Taking your calls. I see we have calls on hold. Please just stay on the line. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day weekend.
A holiday salute from 850, honoring our fallen heroes.
WFTL, West Palm Beach, Boca, from Lauderdale, Miami.
With so many management companies promising that they can help your community, how do you know which one to choose? How about starting with the one that has provided management services to communities in the Tri-County area for over 35 years? How about starting with Association Services of Florida? As part of the Associa family, Association Services of Florida has a service-driven dedication to five-star customer response, an unparalleled investment in employee education, and unrivaled success in residential and community association management. Associations and residents alike look to Association Services of Florida's value-added services, attention to detail, and local expertise for continuous community improvement. Our mission statement says it best, providing unsurpassed management and lifestyle services to communities worldwide. Association Services of Florida's superior senior management team has more than 55 years of combined experience managing communities and providing expert support to management, staff, and board of directors. For a free personal meeting at your community and to find out how Associa can help your condo or HOA, give us a call at 1-800-714-3514. Again, that's 1-800-714-3514. And visit our website at AssociaFlorida.com. Find out for yourself why Associa provides the most value per management dollar in the community association management industry. Tired of having your security company literally fall asleep on the job? Upset that your current security company only reacts after a crisis, but fails to prevent it from happening in the first place? At Alpha Security Services, we want Florida community associations to know that not all security companies are the same. We're the ones with more than 30 years of combined military and law enforcement experience. We demand an interactive approach from our security personnel and expect them not just to watch traffic come in and out of your property, but to also get out from behind the booth and patrol the community in order to keep it safe and give the owners the peace of mind they deserve. Associations today want more than just a passive approach from their security company. They want help enforcing parking restrictions, issuing violations, and even arranging for towing when the need arises. At Alpha Security Services, this is what we do. Our staff are all licensed, fingerprinted, trained, and utilize the latest in security technology to protect the associations who we work with. We even monitor your property and our personnel in real time from the most technologically advanced command and control center in the business. Bottom line, we treat your home like it's our home. Check out our website at alphasecurityservices.com or call 954-809-3333. That's 954-809-3333 for a free security analysis and quotes.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes. declarations, and bylaws. At times it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? In South Florida, you have access to the finer things. Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. And Scott Shapiro has a day off. It is his birthday. Give us a call right here in the studio at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocraze@hoas.com. And send us a quick email.
All right. How about we go to Diane, believe it or not, I think in Pennsylvania on line four. How are you, Diane?
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Pretty good. You actually in Pennsylvania?
Yes. I live in Pennsylvania, my own property in the same community that Aiken called about.
I got you. You got to do me a favor, though. You got to turn down that radio in the background.
Or your computer.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a moment.
It'd be amazing if we had
a
radio.
It's completely off now.
Okay, how can we help you?
Okay, we had sent a certified letter to try to get copies of the financials to get in there to look at things, and particularly we want to zero in on one invoice. Certified letter was sent, and they will not allow us to see the financials. I had contacted the Division of Condominiums about it, and they don't seem to like they can enforce the law.
Well,
so what can we do to get the financials?
Well, I think this is in a condo association, right? Not an HOA, right? Okay. Condo
right,
association,
condo.
Yes, certainly the DBPR can certainly contact them and say, hey, we've got a complaint that a unit owner sent a letter by certified mail requesting access to records, and you haven't given them access within 10 days. And they now have a right to file an arbitration action. They will follow that up. I still hear that radio, so you got to turn it down, though.
Oh, it's completely off.
Yeah, I don't know. We hear it somehow. Okay, but yeah, they can definitely follow it through. But if for whatever reason they won't, then if you sent that letter by certified mail and 10 days have elapsed and they haven't given you access to those records, you can now sue in an arbitration case. An arbitrator will enter an injunction requiring that the records be turned over. You'll get $500 in penalties and fines and all of your attorney's fees and court costs back. So that's what you can do at this point. Oh, I think we lost her.
It sounds to me, Eric, like they need to contact you on Tuesday.
That's what I think, right, at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE.
Yeah, call
we
up
lost
Eric.
Pennsylvania, but maybe she'll call back in. Okay, so let's go to our next caller on line six. Who do we got? We got Gabby in Plantation. How are you, Gabby?
Hello.
Hi, Gabby.
Yes, hi. I just have a question. Can a management company deny you to use your copy machine to make copies of the financials?
Interesting question, and it's interesting that you're asking it. Let's see. Today is May 26th.
Because it's the fourth time.
No. Today's May 26th, because I'm going to answer your question today, but then I'm going to supplement my answer and tell you what's about to happen in about 5 weeks from today. The answer is probably today the answer may be yes. If you brought your own copy machine into an office, a management company may be able to say, sorry, can't use that. You got to go through our copy machines. You got to pay for copies, etc. The law will change, again, assuming Governor Scott signs this bill, or if it's even if it's just delivered to his office and not signed after a period of time, it becomes law anyway. But the new law will require that or will allow, I should say, that unit owners, you don't have to even bring a copy machine. That certainly sounds like something difficult to lug around. But you'll be able to bring your cell phone into the management office or, you know, the on-site office located at the condominium or HOA. Take out your cell phone, ask the manager for access to the records. The manager will give you access to the records. And you can use your own cell phone or your own camera to take copies of those records from now on. No need to pay the association copy charges any longer.
Okay? We never had this issue in the past where we requested for financials, and all of a sudden this manager took it on his own to raise the fees on it for, you know, any copies. We used to get them for free.
Right.
You know, I used to be able to get them through the internet, and they, even though they have one of the forms telling them which way they want any and all information being provided to, since we get the financial through via email by the accountant.
Well, hold on 1 second. Okay, if we're talking about the year-end financial report, those documents, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, that document has to be provided for free.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yep. The association can't even charge for that. So I'd be careful if I was the manager asking the unit owners to actually pay an out-of-pocket fee to get a copy of the year-end financial report, because that manager should know that that report is available to the unit owners free of charge.
And I can even get that. It's already the 120 days. It's already expired, and I have not even gotten the audit that I had requested.
Right. Within 121 days after the year end, that actually has to be prepared. It has to be done, and the unit owners were entitled to a letter telling them that it's done, and if they want copies, they can go in and get one or ask for copies. Your association, apparently, if they didn't do that, they're certainly in violation of the statute. And I tell associations this all the time. You know, the DBPR is certainly not out to really hurt anybody unless what boards are doing is egregious misconduct, you know, willful, wanton behavior. But I'll tell you the one area that I do see that the DBPR does not mess around in, and that's making sure that associations properly and timely file their year-end financial reports. I can tell you I've seen associations get hit with fines in the thousands and thousands of dollars for failing to comply with that provision of the statute requiring that those reports get done. So, you know, you can send a certified letter telling them you want access. If they don't give it to you, then and if the report doesn't exist, then you have two potential causes of action. One is, you know, again, failing to give you access. Two would be failing to actually prepare the documents. So, again, so that might be something you want to follow up.
Management turn around and make exceed the cost of copies of financials, reports, monthly financial reports or they have to be approved by the board?
No, monthly financial reports, Jeff, certainly management companies can charge for that. No two ways about it.
That's correct. In most cases, the board will give us clear direction, you know, provide the copies at the publish rates that we have. It's very, very infrequent that the board actually requires a homeowner to send a certified letter, all that they could resort to. But, yes, we certainly do that.
Well, that's when you're dealing with an associate who does the right thing.
There
not everybody
go.
Does that. But let's do this. We got to take our final break of the hour. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
InveriSystems protect communities better than anyone because InveriSystems focus strictly on the unique needs of gated communities, HOAs, condo associations, and CDDs, proving Invera to be the experienced leader in community protection. Invera's virtual gate guard solution uses state-licensed virtual guards, high-resolution digital cameras, and video recorders to greet guests, contact residents, and grant or deny access at entrance points using two-way audio and one-way video. Invera now secures hundreds of gate points, access control entry points, and amenities like clubhouses, pools, and parks. Your entire community can be protected by Invera's virtual gate guards, active audio surveillance, and access control systems that will increase your community's security at a fraction of the cost of traditional security services. Contact Invera Systems today for a free security consultation. Visit us online at InveraSystems.com. That's E-N-V-E-R-A Systems.com.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officers and directors insurance and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Almost every large building project comes with headaches. Your contractor's a nightmare. The engineer's on a different page. There's problems with the municipality, etc. Well, no more. Call Florida Construction Project Management and say goodbye to the headaches. Florida Construction Project Management can oversee any condominium, hotel, office, or other large building project and get it done as you need it done. They have no affiliation with any contractors, engineers, or suppliers. They work for you. They'll inform you of the progress, keep everyone on the same page, and ensure you're not being taken for a ride. From getting the licenses, insurance, and best quotes to making sure everything's done to code and on time, Florida Construction Project Management will get it done. Why spend personal time getting headaches? Call 954-445-0862 or visit flcpm.com. Florida Construction Project Management. Finally, a company that can help. 954-445-0862 or flcpm.com. License number CGC 1513108.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. And also, we've got Jeffrey Alm from Associa. He's in for Scott Shapiro. It's his birthday today. And we have Brandon,
and
Eric's
got Brandon.
Son.
Yeah, Brandon's in the house today. How you doing, Brandon?
Good.
All right, Brandon. Now, today's kind of like training day, right? Karen talked about how she used to bring her daughter to the radio station, and her daughter used to, like, talk on the air and stuff like that. Now, I'm training you because eventually, you know, I can't do this forever, right? Right? Of course.
Yes.
Okay. So we got to make sure that you know what you're talking about. So just one question. Now that you see what Daddy does for the last couple of years, just one question. Would you ever move into a condo association when you get older?
Hell Hell no.
There you go. That's all I needed to hear from the boy. You're a genius. Very good. Yes, you can take over the show one day. All right, moving on.
Nice job.
He's a smart kid. All right, a few weeks ago, the radio show kind of struck a nerve with some listeners. And for those of you who missed the show, I discussed the fact that there's an HOA in Pembroke Pines that has lots of kids and lots of families, but apparently has a rule that says kids can't play outside in the street.
What?
Yes, ridiculous. And the 10-year-old niece of one of the attorneys in my office was actually approached by the HOA manager and told to stop playing with sidewalk chalk and go inside the house to actually play. And a real question that came out of that show was that, you know, even if there is a rule that says kids can't play outside, can the HOA really make or even enforce that rule?
Get Brandon back in here.
Yeah, really. I know what Brandon would say. So, you know, here's today what we need to talk about is what are the rules regarding making rules?
Mm.
And the conversation has to start with a case called Hidden Harbor Estates versus Norman, which was decided by the 3rd DCA in 1975. And in that case, the court spoke about whether a board rule which prohibits alcohol in the clubhouse was reasonable. And here's what the court said about actually living in a community association. The court says that it's apparent, it appears to us, that inherent in the condominium concept is the principle that to promote the health, happiness, and peace of mind of a majority of the owners, since they're living in such close proximity and using facilities in common, each unit owner must give up a certain degree of freedom of choice, which he might otherwise enjoy in a separate privately owned community. Now, I don't think anybody would disagree with the court statement. There's no question that when you choose to move into a community association, you're definitely going to give up, you know, some degree of freedom. No two ways about it.
That's true. And the court goes on to say, certainly association is not at liberty to adopt arbitrary or capricious rules bearing no relationship, excuse me, to the health, happiness, and enjoyment of life of the various unit owners. On the contrary, we believe the test is reasonableness. If a rule is reasonable, the association can adopt it. If it is not, it cannot.
Right. Makes
sense. So it boils down to reasonableness. And the court found that a rule prohibiting alcohol in the clubhouse was, in fact, reasonable. But, you know, while prohibiting alcohol in the clubhouse was considered a reasonable rule, you know, I argued that we'd probably be hard-pressed to find a judge here in South Florida who would rule that prohibiting children entirely from playing in the street was reasonable. And we blogged about the topic, and our readers kind of went nuts. So let's see what some of our blog readers thought. First one to write in was Mel Neiser. Mel writes in and says, you know, if you've chosen to live in an adult over 55 community, at some time the grandchildren will visit for a short or extended stay. I believe it's reasonable to have a rule pertaining to children playing in the clubhouse or near the association's building. The rule could explain what can be done rather than what can't be done. Most cities have playgrounds, and young children can use those park playgrounds to play in. I believe it's an issue of safety for older adults and quiet enjoyment. At my condo, we have young children, teenagers, and adult grandchildren visitors. Owners and lessees don't need rules to regulate behavior. However, if there are abusive behaviors, a rule should serve as a single guideline for those who need such a rule. You know, my thought is, you know, nobody's saying the board can't make reasonable rules, for example, that says children can't play in the clubhouse unsupervised. You know, that's reasonable. You know, for example, kids can't use the pool tables without an adult being present. You know, certainly reasonable. But that's a lot different, Jeff, than saying that kids can't play outside, period. It's a big difference.
That's true. When the rules about children are made, you have to be really careful about how you're defining children. But if you're moving to a neighborhood that has lots of kids, one should expect that the children would be allowed to play.
You would think. And I got to tell you, you got to be careful, because I know there are some cases out there where kids have been discriminated against, and it's wound up creating a violation of the Fair Housing Act, both federal and Florida. So it's something you got to be careful about.
Yes, okay. I've run exactly into that situation.
Really? So, yeah, so something to think about before making rules attacking kids. All right, Guy writes in and says, well, in many HOAs, the streets and sidewalks are owned by the local municipality, and their rules prevail. I once lived in an HOA that prohibited boat trailer parking in the driveway. So I parked on the street. At least in the driveway, it was sheltered by shrubs on the street. It was highly visible. And this is a great email. And here's why, however, I disagree with Guy. I guess he seems to think that if the streets in the community aren't owned by the community can't make any rules regarding parking, for example, on the streets. And, you know, for example, if the docs say no parking of your boat or commercial vehicle in the community, Guy thinks you get around that by simply parking your boat on the street. You know, what's your take, Jeff?
Well, Guy's way off base here, but yeah, this argument is not unique. We get it all the time. People forget that the streets are in the community, and the community is regulated.
Right. That's how I look at it, sure. There's no simple way around the regulation simply by saying, you guys don't own the streets. It's a losing argument.
Well, Eli Orsoff writes in and says, I think that adults in over 55 condos and HOAs hate all grandchildren other than their own. Their grandchildren can do anything wrong. Older, possibly impaired drivers could wind up in accidents with irresponsible children playing in the street.
This one's interesting because, as you know, in a 55 and over community, the community definitely has the right to actually prohibit children from living near. So I guess it stands to reason, you know, if you can outright prevent kids from living in the community, you can certainly make reasonable rules and regulations which kind of drastically limit where they can play when visiting grandma and grandpa. Now, again, I'm taking this position because specifically it's a 55 and over community. It's not my take when it comes to a non-55 and over community.
Okay.
Jeff, what's your thoughts?
That's true. I mean, once again, if you're going to move into a 55-plus community, you should have the expectation that you can not have to deal with kids all
that
day.
That you can drive on the sidewalks without hitting a kid.
But which they often do.
But it doesn't mean you don't like kids. It's just you're in a 55-plus community.
Right. All right, let's move on quickly. We got Marcia Straub, who I had the pleasure of meeting last week. She writes in and says, how about a rule that prohibits visitor parking and designated visitor parking spots after 10 p.m.? Nowhere is this in our rules and regulations. Vehicles parked in visitor spaces are routinely towed.
What?
The babysitter's car went to the car pound. My boyfriend's car is often parked in a visitor spot after 10 p.m. Is this legal? It seems unconscionable that the board can regulate my work schedule, my dating, and my visitors with threatening to tow visitor vehicles parked in visitor parking after 10 o'clock. Is the board overstepping their authority? And when Marcia wrote this, I love this email because I'm a big fan of The Odd Couple. And there's a great episode of The Odd Couple where Oscar and Felix decide to move into one of those brand new fancy high security condominiums. And one of the rules goes on to say that all overnight guests, you have to be reported to the front desk by 10 o'clock p.m. And Oscar Madison goes crazy and he objects to the rule because he tells the front desk, hey, sometimes I'm not sure by 10 o'clock at night if it's going to be turn into an overnight guest.
Right.
Classic scene from The Odd Couple, but I guess that's exactly what Marcia's complaining about. But Jeff, I got to tell you, I've seen this happen in other communities as well, where, you know, guests don't know if they're staying over or not staying over. They go up to get their car in the morning and it's gone. You know, how do you actually deal with something like that?
Yeah, I love this type of question because my first response to the board is why? Why is this rule there? And is the declaration really give you that authority to ban overnight parking? A lot of the times the board really wants to restrict how owners are using visitor parking.
But exactly. That's what it really boils down to.
If a visitor is a visitor and they're there overnight, who cares?
And they're in visitor parking and they still get towed.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the babysitter.
But that's why we got a show to deal with all these crazy issues.
Right.
Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to another week of Condo Craze and HOAs. Enjoy what's left of your Memorial Day weekend. And we'll see you same time, same station next week. Have a great week, everybody. Have a great week, everybody. Sweet. Have a great week, everybody. Sweet. Have a great week, everybody. Sweet. Have a great week, everybody. Sweet.